and God's been good to me. I pastored in Roanoke, Texas, town of 500, 26th preacher in 20-year history of the church, and then went to Wichita Falls, is where the mental institution is in Texas, and they said they knew I'd wind up there sooner or later. And those two places, I had health problems. They got sick of me. And so now I'm in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and it's an unusual place, but boy, the food's good, and you can tell by looking, and don't comment on that. Amen. In the book of Matthew, please, chapter number 26. Is this water spike, preacher? Okay, spike. Good. Chapter 26. And if you'll stand in honor of the Word of God, please. Church, I want to thank you for the wonderful room and all the goodies in the room. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. It's very kind of you to do that. And I am honored to be here. Now, you know, you can preach sermons and you can read sermons. And I'd like to ask you to pray for me, and you can do that while I preach. I want to preach a message tonight. Now, I'm a fundamental, independent, old-fashioned, blow-in-the-bottle, spit-in-the-sand, jumped-over-the-wall, hallelujah, shot back. I've never been nothing else. Don't want to be anything else. Yeah. Offered other things. And so tonight, I'm going to kind of go along the line of that last song, the old-fashioned stuff. And it's going to be like cornbread and onions. Then Brother Joe can get up here and feed us some steak. Amen. Matthew chapter 26, look down in verse 69. Now Peter sat without the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto him, that was there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also, help me read the next four words, art one of them. Let's read again. Art one of them. For thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Let's pray, and you can be seated. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for saving me, dear Lord. I'm glad I'm saved tonight, God. I mean it. And you know that, and I thank you today already. And I'm not going to ever try to go without a day without thanking you for saving me, dear Lord. It's wonderful to be born again of the grace of God. Lord, and all the good things that's come my way since I've been saved. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for this good church tonight, for the pastor here and the people, dear God, that have gone to great, great length to put on a meeting like this. I know something about it, and so does my sweet wife and the things we've tried to do in Baton Rouge. But thank you again. And thank you, dear God, for letting us live in America. Oh, Lord, I believe our old country's sick, but dear God, I don't believe she's dead yet. And Lord, I believe if you could take five loaves and two fishes from a little boy, and you'd feed 20,000 people, I believe you can save this country, dear God. And I believe if you could open up the Red Sea and 3.5 million people walk across in one night, I believe you can save this country. And Lord, I'm asking you to do it for your honor and your glory. Now, Lord, thank you for all these good people that are here tonight. I know some of them have been up since early this morning. Some mamas got up and got babies ready for school and then had to rush to work maybe. And some good men, Lord, have been up since daylight and worked hard and had to get to church. And so, dear God, help me to be a blessing. And Lord, anoint our preacher to come. Dear God, bless him. And help us to hear with our heart, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May be seated. And if you look over in the book of Luke right quickly, please, chapter number 14. All this is familiar with you. Luke chapter number 14, right fast in your Bible. And right quickly, we will look down in verse 69. And a maid saw him and began to say, Luke 14:69, that stood by, this is one of them. Let's say that together. This is one of them. Let's say it again. This is one of them. And he denied it again, and a little after, they that stood by again, said again to Peter, surely thou art, let's say the next three words, one of them. For thou art a Galilean, and thy speech betrayeth thee. Now I want to speak tonight for a little while on this subject. I am one of them. I am one of them. Years and years ago, I remember, and I was born in Oklahoma out in the country, and we had an old-fashioned Pentecostal church. You could hear them for miles away. But particularly, you could tell what the women were by the way they looked. Just say amen right there. Now, I'm not preaching for or against this. Somebody said, and I think it's true, any old barn looks good just so you don't paint it till it runs, you know. But you knew them honestly, folks, because there was no makeup on them. Is that right? Now, I have two neighbors that still do that, United Pentecostal folks. And you could tell who they were most of the time by that bun they tied their hair up in, couldn't you? And you could tell that they were one of them. Is that right? You could tell they were one of them. Now, let me ask you something. If you see a fellow walking around with a dress on and got a diaper on his head, what do you think about? He's one of them. He's one of them. Amen? Now, and most of the time, you can tell that they're one of them when they come down the street and they got on a black pair of pants, they got on a white shirt, and they got on a dark tie. What are they, folks? They're one of them. They're a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness, right? Now, let me tell you something. The world ought to look at us and say, you're one of them and identify us. They ought to, Peter was betrayed by his speech. We ought to be betrayed by our speech. Amen. Peter was betrayed by his manner of life. We ought to be betrayed by our manner of life. We got to get back again where so-called saved people got a little character. Amen. And we got to get back to that. And your neighbors ought to know you're one of them when church time comes because you're not at home and they see you leave. Amen. Listen to me. They ought to tell by your character. They ought to tell by the music you have. And by the way, they ought to tell by your witnessing. You're one of them. Amen. Now, let me tell you something, folks. I am one of them, and I'm not ashamed to say that I'm one of them tonight, and I'm an old-fashioned independent Baptist. Amen. Now, I believe God's sovereign. I'm not a fatalist. I don't believe in Calvinism. I heard about the fellow that fell down the stairs and said, I'm glad that's over. It was predestined. I'm glad it's over. I'm not one of them. But I believe God's sovereign. I think He knows what's going on. I don't think He woke up this morning. I think He knows exactly what's going on. I think He created the world. I'm one of them. I don't know why He created love bugs. Do y'all have love bugs? Why did He do that? I don't know. Nothing likes them. They stink. Nothing eats them. All they do is mess up your car. We get to heaven. That's one thing we want to ask Him. Why did You create them? But I'm one of them. Believe God created them. Amen. I believe in the immaculate conception of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the local, visible, independent, fundamental, make everybody mad, independent Baptist church. I'm one of them. I believe Jesus is the head of the church. I believe that with all my heart. I'm not being unkind. I believe that. I believe the church is His bride. You see, I'm one of them. I believe in one of them, that white's white, black is black, there's no gray, no in between. I'm one of them. Yeah. Now, I believe in old-fashioned hymns like we sang tonight. Yeah. Boy, they're good. I mean, that's one, that'll help you out. Amen. My song leader's granddad wrote the song Victory in Jesus. I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory. Now, listen to me. I didn't know. Brother Martin's a very quiet fellow, and he's a little more verbal than he was. He's been with me 30 years. And I'll tell you one day why I had him come, because of his character and everything like that. And one night he got up and he said, I want to tell you about my granddaddy writing this song. He said, close to the end of his life, he wrote that song, and something happened to him physically. And here's what he put down in that song. He said, I've heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing. And then he said, I said, Lord Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. Didn't ask to heal his body. Now think about that. Lewis Bridges, you've heard about him. Rode home, you heard about him, preacher. The circuit riding preacher came home, looked down off a little hill off his horse, and his house was burned down completely. And he rode down there, and the old men were standing around and said, preacher, we tried to save your family, and we couldn't, and they're all burned up. And he walked through those ashes and sang, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing. He keeps me. Boy, that'll help you. Amen. I talk to our missionaries and they're sad. They go to churches now. They got a set of drums and no song books and all that kind of stuff. Don't even have Sunday night service or Wednesday night service. Folks, let me tell you something. I believe in old fashioned hymns. I believe in separation from the world. I believe in pastor led churches. Anything that's got two heads is some kind of weird thing. I don't care what you say. I believe in Bible discipline for children. I think God created a place for them. I'm one of them. And I'll tell you what, it worked. I don't believe in beating the kid and none of that kind of stuff. My mama would grab anything she could get, a fly swat, a stick, anything. One day she grabbed a butcher knife. My little brother stuck his hand back there. You know what a butcher knife is, do you? Huh? And she cut his thumb. And he said, Mommy, you cut my thumb. She said, next time, don't stick your hand back there, son. You ought to be able to look at your kids and they say, uh-oh. Now, I believe Jesus is coming back. I believe He's coming back. I'm one of them. I'm a premillennialist. Not post. I don't eat post-toasted. I don't like them. Let me tell you something. Listen, when I go to the doctor, let me tell you something. I'm a fellow that believes a man ought to be a man, a woman ought to be a woman. I don't buy being gay. I'm one of them that believe a man is a man and a woman is a woman. I believe that. I'm sorry about that. I thank God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen. Now, listen, let me tell you something else. I was born in America. More like most of you got several bloodlines, but I was born in America. I'm proud. I'm an American. If you're American, say you're proud you're American. Amen. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me. Folks, I am one of them. You need to identify what you are. I mean, say what you are. My wife does not buy generic food. She buys something that's got hunts on it or ketchup. So you say, I don't think the name's important. Well, let's just call you Bob Blank. Huh? Now, hang on, folks. I'm one of them that I believe God's first, not Grandma.
Yes, sir.
Well, we got to go see Grandma. She's turning 84. Have her birthday on Monday. Come on. I don't believe Grandpa ought to be first. I got 9 grandkids. You can have 8.5 of them if you want them. They're expensive. I don't think grandchildren ought to be first. I don't think the mooses or the gooses or the lions or the Ku Klux Klan ought to be first. I believe God ought to be first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything you need, the Bible says, will be added to you. I'm one of them. I can't help it. I'm one of them. Now let me tell you something. I believe tonight in an inherent, infallible, unadulterated Word of God, inspired and preserved by God. I'm one of them. I don't need to prove it. You're looking at proof. I don't need to go to something to prove the King James. Come on, folks, help me. It's the Word of God, inspired. The Bible says it's the living Word of God. Only life can give forth life. I'm one of them. And I'm in a pretty good fraternity. I'm in the Billy Sunday, Mordecai Ham, Joe Arthur, Jack Howes, Bob Jones Sr., Lester Roloff, Phil Kidd, J. Frank North, Dr. Lee Robertson, and others that I know, I'm one of them. I'm in a pretty good fraternity tonight. I'm one of them. Amen. I'm not political, religious, or whatever. I'm sorry, I'm just not. You can ask my wife, what you see is what you get. If you don't like it, tough. I believe this book has changed individuals like it changed me. It changed me. Listen to me, I walked in that Independent Baptist Church on Wednesday night, about 20 of us there, and a Marine was the pastor. A Marine. He was the pastor. Because no such thing as an ex-Marine. And he got up, and his teeth were a little bit loose, and every now and then they'd fall down. And he looked out there, and I was 6'3", weighed about 115, 16, or 35, 40 pounds, something like that. Now I weigh 200. And, anyway. He just bared down with both barrels. It wasn't how many angels could stand on the point of a needle, or if God never made a rock, he couldn't lift it, or why Adam never to get, Jesus never to get married, or where Adam got to go. He just said, rah, boom, bam! And I said, Lord God. Because I'd only been in church about 3 times when I was a kid. I mean, he preached. Boy, did he preach. The only reason I went on Wednesday night is because I started working with a preacher, and the first thing he said to me after I told him my name, he said, are you born again? First thing he said. He had a little old village church, and his wife hated him. She threw the Bible at him. But he was a wonderful witness, and I lied to him. I'm not proud of that. I lied to him. I said, yes, sir, because I've been witnessed to. I can tell you everybody witnessed to me. And he said, you're supposed to work till 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm your lead man. I'm going to see that you get off work so you can go to church. I didn't want to go to church. Especially on Wednesday night. But I get paid there, so I kind of like it now, preacher. I will be honest. Preachers only work 2 or 3 times, you know, a week. So my people say that to me. I say, that's right. Get in. There's plenty of us. Come on. I had moved from North Fort Worth because of problems and difficulties and all that kind of stuff. And God's forgotten all that. It's got Alzheimer's. Isn't that good? And I got off work. I worked at elementary school right in the Cardwell Air Force Base. And I got off work. Listen to me now. And I'm just telling you the truth. At 6 o'clock, went straight home, changed clothes. My wife, we didn't even eat anything, and then drove all the way back to Northside Fort Worth, because that's the only church I knew to go to, and walked there for Wednesday night service. Then go on Sunday, wasn't obligated for Sunday. Isn't that sorry? That's sorry, isn't it? He didn't ask me about going on Sunday. He said, did you go last night? I said, yeah. And man, I went in there, and that preacher got up, and he blew my ears off. I mean, just absolutely. And I thought, Lord God, what is wrong with this man? Something wrong with this man. And I really thought she'd talk to him before I got there. Man, he preached and he'd say, folks, listen, man, I want to tell you, this is awful. And there was about 20 of us there, and the church was so broke, he'd have to go down and turn the water on before we got there and turn it off afterwards and all that stuff. He's in bad shape. That's the only church I knew to go to. He's the one that stood in the house that married me and my wife. And man, he got up there and preached up a storm. I mean, just preaching. He'd say, okay, stand, let's bow your head on Wednesday night. He gave an invitation. He said, if you know you're saved, raise your hand. I'd say, I didn't want him to come and see me. Still don't like for preachers to come, but I have to have them every now and then. You know how that is. Boy, I went about a month, Brother Arthur, and I looked at her and I said, we can't live this thing. There ain't no way no living person can live what that man said. I said, we just can't do it. And we quit going. I got as miserable as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs, boy. Man. Went back on a Wednesday night. Man went back. After about a month, he did the same thing. Boom! Boom! Bam! And I said, oh, Lord. And I was under conviction so bad, boy. And he said, everybody, stand. He said, if you know you're saved, raise your hand. I didn't raise my hand. He said, if you know you're lost, going to hell, raise your hand. And I raised my hand. He said, like this, get down here, son. I did. And he got right in my ear. He said, son, you're going to hell, aren't you? I said, yes, sir. He said, let me tell you why you don't have to go. Glory to God, my life changed that night, boy. I mean, changed completely. Listen to me. I know what this book will do. I know what it'll do. I've watched it do, and you've watched it do. Don't mess with this book. Don't mess. Brother Roloff, you say, don't mess with my mama. Don't mess with this book. Because it birthed us. And we've been in trouble since we messed with this book. I'm one of them that believe this book. I mean, I believe this book. You listen to me. Listen, folks, since we messed with this book, America is number one in murder, rape, stealing, bankruptcy, divorce, unwed mothers, gambling, lying, everything in the world. And we've come along and every crime in America has been committed. And we have taken because we've got rid of this book. I was a kid, public high school, lost, me and a junkyard dog, lost as a goose. Every morning, public high school, every morning. We had to be in our place with our shirt tails tucked in. Had to be. Well, it's kind of quiet now. And if you didn't tuck it in, the principal would tuck it in for you. And he had a paddle about that tall, and he called it Old Buddy. And he used both hands on it. He called my mama one time. He said, this kid's one of the six meanest kids in our school. She said, beat it out of it. Today, we got little boys. Their mamas are taking up on them. They don't know what a dipstick is. They know what a mouse is. My son, my only son, was working at church the other day. We're trying to build a new building. Brother Arthur, when I get through this, and I'm getting drunk. No, I did. After 120 years of building, he got drunk. Come on, folks. Everywhere I've been, I've had to build a building, tear one down. Man, he's going along, cutting some steel, and it just banged his hand like that. Fingers swelled up. He just kept working. You know why? Because when I bought him a bicycle, there wasn't no training wheels on it. I just put him on it and said, huh? He had two older sisters. And I made him go through some things she didn't really like at that time. I understand she's a mama. He's playing football and broke his shoulder blade. And he come running out and he looked like a bird with a wing like this. She said, get him off. I said, he'll come off when he gets dead or something, you know. I mean, I'm being ugly to you. I was trying to build me a man. And it's evident he's a man. And he's playing one time and he got hit so hard. He bit his mouthpiece in half. And one of our men's refereeing, he come carrying him over in his arms, and he said, I think Bob Jr.'s hurt, preacher. He said, what do you think? And I said, what do you think, son? He said, well, I can't walk, but I'm okay, Dad. Yeah. And I said, you sure? He said, yeah, Dad, I can't walk, but I'm all right. Took him home, his foot swelled up. Whoop, Friday night, got bigger Saturday. Whoop. Sunday, he couldn't walk. I took him to Dr. Monday. The doctor said, where you been? This kid's got three broke toes. Now listen to me, but I was building one of them, Brother Arthur. I was building me one of them. Yeah. Amen. Now listen to me. Listen to me, folks. Let me tell you something. Listen to me tonight. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 that every word of God is inspired by God. I believe that. I believe that. You don't have to send me to school. Peter said, born again of the incorruptible seed by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. I'm one of them that believes this Bible. You're not going to make me not believe it. This is the word of God. I want you to listen to me. This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, leave it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian charter. Here paradise is restored, heaven's open, and the gates of hell is disclosed. Christ is its grand object, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It's a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life. It will be opened in judgment, and will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest honor, labor, and will condemn all who travel with it. It's the word of God. I moved to Louisiana. I told my wife, I said, three things I ain't going to do. Number one, I'm not going to travel. Lied about that. Number two, I said, I'm not going to get in fights. Lied about that. Number three, I said, I'm not going to have any friends. Lied about that. And I wasn't there very long, and they said, we're going to take over your Christian schools. It started right with my ugly toenails. Fellow I never met. Dr. Rice and Dr. Hiles came to preach and went over here and preached. And Dr. Rice was up in the years, bless his heart, just barely making it. He kindly wandered out, and the preacher had had him wandered out after him. And then Dr. Hiles got up and he said, really, the government's not worried about us. We're going to kill each other, you know. And he's pretty well right along that line. And then the pastor got up and he said, anybody have any problems that you need help with? And a fellow about as tall as me, Brother Arthur, and on the other side of the room stood up and he said, fellows, I've been fighting for my daycare for about 6 or 8 months with nobody helping me. He said, the state's trying to take it over. I walked over to him. I said, buddy, you'll never fight again by yourself. We put 5,000 people on the Capitol steps, man. 5,000 Christians. A representative that helped us, he said, if you put 5,000 people on the Capitol steps, they will come out and to you. And man, we was out there singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And all that. And those legislators came out there, boy. And everything. And I mean, I got involved in stuff. I didn't even know what I was doing. Now, you can get their heads, but it's sometimes hard to get their hearts. And all they can see is numbers. That's all they see. One time the Republican Party was having a meeting, and I don't know why, my ministry verses Proverbs 18:16, a man's gift maketh room for him, brings four great men. And they asked me if I'd come and sitting on it, that representative, and I said, sure. And so Bob Livingston, who was very honest, would have been the Speaker of the House instead of Pelosi, admitted he had an affair, was a state representative, a congressman. He came, and then a couple of senators from our state came, and a Republican chairman came, and this good guy that helped us was a Democrat, and he was thinking about switching over to being a Republican, and then me and several other preachers was here, United Pentecostal preacher, and we're sitting over here. And I said, I ain't saying nothing. So we're sitting there, and they're talking, and they're talking. And I said, hey, wait a minute, I want to say something. I said, what you men need to do, you fellows over here, you politicians, I said, you need to come and sit in my men's prayer meeting. You'll find out about this country, how much we love this country. I said, that's where the real place is. And boy, that chairman of the Republican Party said, hey, man, we need you on our side. He said, I'm going to be honest with you, preacher, all we see is votes. We see you, we see 100 votes. And then the state senator said, give that guy a baseball bat and helmet. We could really use him. And we battled and battled. And, man, we went down there one time to a committee meeting. And we were in there. And so they always let the folks that's for it go first and us last. And I'm just being honest with you now. I don't care whether you like it or not. Like it, lump it, bump it, jump it. I've been preaching a long time. Been married almost 49 years. Ugly looks don't bother me. Nothing like that. Don't bother me. I don't give a rip. And one of those black guys, chairman, one of those black reverend, he said, Mr. Chairman, don't let these Baptist preachers come down here and wag their wares in front of us. Yeah, wrong thing to say. So we let them run out their junk. It's my time to speak. I said, I want to say four or five things right here. I said, number one, I'm glad I'm saved. I said, number two, I'm glad I'm a Baptist preacher. And that chairman said, you're out of order. I said, I ain't out of order. My taxes pay your salary. And I said, number four, I'm going to say what I want to when I want to, as long as it ain't cussing. Boy, God gave us some victories. And so the head of the DHHR, that means death and hell or something. I don't know what it means. He got a meeting with me and this big preacher, friend of mine. We go into his office and in his office, his desk is completely clean. Now, a clean desk is a sign of an insane mind. Every preacher's desk ought to be stacked that high with jokes and stuff like that, sermons. Amen. Amen. Come on. So we go in there and this friend of mine, he just happens to bring his Bible in there. And this big shot sitting over here, and we're sitting over here. This friend of mine lays his Bible down like that. And this big shot here, he says, I'm going to bury you guys. And I said, I'm 6'3", and he's 6'4". And about that time, my friend pushes his Bible like this. And that guy backs up. He did. It scared him. I said, Bill, stick it in his belly button. Now, you go down here tonight and eat a restaurant walking there with this Bible. Go down to Time Magazine. Ain't gonna bother me. Walk, this book's alive, man. I'm one of them that believes this is the Word of God. And you're not gonna change what I believe about this book. It'll give you life. Listen, I'm not trying to prove it. It's the Word of God. It needs no defense. It'll stand alone. It's above every book. Listen, you don't have to look at it scholarly. I got kindergarten kids in my school that can read this book. I'm one of them. I'm gonna say one of them. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly, smart aleck. I'm just one of them, folks. Money don't attract me. I've been offered a lot of money to do a lot of different things. I ain't going to do it. I'm sticking with this book. I'm one of them. Now, maybe alone, that's fine. You know, I don't like to be alone. I like friends as much as you do. But if I have to be alone, I'm alone. I'm a soldier. A soldier don't need petting, pumped up, pride or nothing. He's just a soldier. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you.